This week on the Digital Marketing Scoop, we talk with Jack Gaisford all about video marketing in 2021. And how's business, Jack?
Yeah, good. Actually, really good. I mean, you know, we've obviously launched this new service. So that's picking up quite nicely, which is good. Like lots of good stuff happening behind the scenes, new site launching soon, which is going to drive more business in. So yeah, we're not actually too bad. Like cool. The first lockdown really killed us. But it seems like people have kind of understood not to stop marketing and to continue pushing and that sort of stuff. So it's quite a good industry to be in now, I think, which is exciting. Definitely. But no, we're all good on our mate. We're all good.
Cool. I suppose before we jump in, actually, so you, I know you were on the podcast before, but hopefully there's lots of new people who probably don't know you. So if you would just tell a bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Jack. I am the founder and managing director of V21. We are a subscription-based video marketing agency that make videos for brands on the internet every month. And that's kind of the small sales pitch really there. Just attention-grabbing videos every month. And I make a lot of content myself on LinkedIn. So if you're not following me, go and check it out. And yeah, if you want any questions, just fire away.
Yeah, it's well worth following Jack on LinkedIn, actually.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining, first of all, and you'll also get some fantastic ideas from it.
Exactly, yeah. Stealing all the ideas.
That's why we have him on.
Yeah.
great.
Oh, exactly.
So I suppose, Jack, video marketing, as if it wasn't already massive, the situation at the moment has kind of, I think, made it explode even more, really. Mm-hmm. How have you found, I suppose, from two aspects, one from a business side of things, how things have changed, and then second, from an actual content creation side of things, how they've changed for you?
Yeah, so I guess from a business perspective, I think that, like I said a moment ago, people haven't really stopped this time around. You know, we are in now the second national lockdown in the UK. So a lot of essential businesses are still open. A lot of businesses have been closed. People are still on furlough. So it's still a bit of an iffy situation. And for us, it's more of whether clients feel comfortable and confident to film content. So we are allowed to go out, we're allowed to go in video. As long as we wear PPE and we've got masks and gloves on, we're fine. But it's totally down to the client's discretion. So we're not cancelling shoots. We have no reason to, because we're allowed to go out and we can do it safely. Totally down to client's discretion. Naturally, some clients are going to be a little bit iffy around, you know, team of people turning up or, you know, miking up and camera equipment, but we're trying to limit the size of the team to just one or two people. And it hasn't really stopped. It stopped maybe, you know, the first 24 hours, we had a lot of calls from clients postponing and pausing things because naturally you would. But I think as time went on over the last week, people have actually gone, this probably wasn't the best decision. We'd like to continue. We'd like to do some more. But strangely enough, we've had more business in the last 6 months than we ever have. So I don't know what we've done differently, but people are kind of understanding that content's huge this year. They're not making enough of it. If they are, it's not very good. So they're kind of getting in touch and just finding out and asking questions, which is all I ask of people. You know, some people we're not right for, some people we are, and we try and choose the best that we can, really. And from a content perspective, I think that, you know, naturally we're seeing the Zoom calls and sort of the more iPhone-y content. But I think that we are a lot more accepting of that at the moment because it's really all that people can do. Unless they hire a film crew or have professional equipment, they are limited to what is around them. That tends to be a webcam or a phone camera. And I think that we have just found that it doesn't really matter. And I'm kind of going against what I've always said here, that production is key. It is. But I think because people are more accepting of that, it's more the content that wins as opposed to how that's produced. Mm. For example, I know a lot of people on LinkedIn who make content on their phones. I can't remember this guy's name, but he posted a video, I think it was last week, went absolutely viral on LinkedIn. This is just filmed on a webcam, him having a bit of a laugh, something like 250,000 views. Ridiculous, absolutely blew up. And this guy hasn't got camera crews turning up. It's just very good content, clever strategy, clever scripting, clever creative brain. So I think there is more competition now, though. I think that as people have understood that content's really important, everybody's jumped on that. And every, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry is now making content. 99% is not very good. 1% is quite good, you know. So as a brand, it's very hard now to kind of stand out and look different if you're doing the classic Zoom calls and iPhone content. So we kick in when people are looking at kind of going past that point and going, right, we want to get more awareness. We want to stand out on the feed. Let's talk. That's kind of, yeah.
And are you finding people are more inclined now to, under the, at the current time, they'll send you their own content and you just do the editing? Is that happening a lot more?
Yeah. So yeah. I guess with the launch of the subscription, we've kind of done an editing package. So for us, it's a good amount of our work. I'd say 25-30% of our work comes from editing content. Clients will send that in and say, look, jazz this up, sprinkle a bit of glitter on top and you know, add a bit of pizzazz into it. And that's what we do. It works fine. It's, you know, it really works for specific types of companies. Anything really e-com based or product based is very difficult because you have to have that level of production there. But for things like podcasts or stuff that you can film at home, again, people are a lot more accepting of that. Mm-hmm. Then it's absolutely fine. And we can make bad content look quite good.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it's definitely increasing.
And do you give them direction before they start filming?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So the whole thing.
I was like, the work you'd have to do.
Guys, go and film whatever you want and send it over to us and we'll do it. Yeah, that works.
I was like, geez.
No, we'll help with everything. Absolutely everything. I mean, are you guys putting more content out at the moment? How are you guys kind of finding the content game?
We're probably similar, I suppose, to where we were pre COVID, really, in terms of content. Like our podcast is our key content and we chop that up. Same as yourself, I think you mentioned previously, like March and April, you know, was a big hit to us as well, but this time around people are all okay, no, we need to be marketing,
we need to be online.
So luckily enough, things are busy, things are good. From our content creation side, for us, we're back doing this on Zoom, obviously. We're out of the studio. Yeah, production quality has absolutely gone down because obviously we're using webcams and the mics we have at home versus our studio. But as you say, people are a lot more of accepting of that, especially when you know you actually don't have access to those things.
Yeah.
So for us, our content strategy, I suppose, hasn't really changed from us as an agency. We use our podcast as our core piece of content, and that's chopped up and distributed then across all the different platforms. So that for us, that's been working well and hasn't really changed. The branding, the format, all those things I think will probably change over time. All right. But the actual, I think using the podcast as the core for us, as that anchor content works really well. I don't envision that changing anytime soon.
What about in terms of things like people engaging and actually interacting with the content? Have you found that there's been a difference over the last kind of couple of months with user engagement, or has it kind of stayed steady?
I think it's been pretty steady.
Yeah. We've increased a small bit, all right. Like since I started in July, I kind of switched up what I was thinking with the distribution. I was like, okay, I'm going to try this way. And, you know, I was trying more like IGTVs, but only snippets and different captions and things. And we are like, off the topic of videos, we're also doing loads of carousel posts now. So really informative content that people can just like flick through as well. So they're kind of increasing the engagement as well then.
Yeah, that's great.
Are you finding any specific content on your end is working really well?
That's a good question. I definitely feel like the longer form content, again, we've kind of changed what we've been doing. So I guess on the last podcast, it was very focused on, you know, personal branding, quick, easily digestible content. And I still think that's important. I think for us now that we're at the stage where people kind of know who I am, people kind of know the business, and it's now learning more of it about in depth. So we're trying to make longer content. And we find that actually when people watch longer pieces of content, then they feel more engaged. There's more comments. There's more questions. I guess it would kind of be the difference between having a 5-minute podcast and an hour podcast. You're going to get more information out that people kind of bite on in that hour. So for us, we're trying to make longer form content. We're trying to go a little bit harder on YouTube as well. So there's lots of exciting stuff happening.
Would you be thinking post lockdown going the daily vlog kind of route to
oh
produce
my God,
that.
Can you imagine that? I'd have to be like, oh my Jesus. I used to vlog. So when I was much younger, I used to be a vlogger. I thought I was going to be this amazing, huge, famous vlogger, but nobody really cared about me nipping down to Tesco's to get a meal deal. But it's so difficult. Oh my God. Like the amount of time and dedication you have to put into it, it's just ridiculous. I don't think people
realize that either. They just see someone like famous on YouTube. Oh, they're going around just filling themselves all day. They have no idea the amount of work.
But it's a full-time job, just thinking of the content itself. Yeah. Like nobody lives like that exciting of a life. I mean, how can people do this every day? So when you're at home, you've got nothing to do. You've got to make that exciting. And that is just stressful. Mm. On top of then putting that together, posting it out, replying, like it's a full-time job. I don't know how people would just, oh my God, it's just the most stressful thing.
So that's a no then.
Yeah, definitely. Definite no.
Brilliant. Oh. And are you seeing like a huge increase now in portrait content? Like do your clients really want to focus on portrait content at the moment or?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't think so. We haven't really ever had anybody come to us for portrait content. I think that I don't know if you know. Feel free to disagree, but I feel like it might be more for product-based e-com kind of clients who are selling a kind of a tangible product and need to kind of cater to people on Snapchat or IGTV, Instagram Stories, those sorts of things. Yeah. But no, we haven't really had anybody kind of get in touch. We don't do it ourselves just because. I don't know, it just takes a bit longer to do and it just takes more time. So for us it's still the classic kind of just the sort of the standard templates and feed resolution content, I guess. But no, I mean, have you guys seen an increase in it?
I mean, definitely like from our side, we're seeing, you know, Reels, TikTok, IGTVs, Stories, you know, they're all booming at the moment. So like one of our clients used to just go around with his phone and it was great for IGTVs and Reels, and then they switched to a videographer who does it your way now. But then I was like, oh no, like IGTVs actually work better in portrait, and then I can chop them up and make Reels out of those videos. So I was like, it actually works better for them maybe with portrait content. So I think it depends on the client as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And there has been talks to that client potentially doing both.
Which is double the work,
That's good for you guys, but hey, right? But I think it depends on the platform as well. Like TikTok, I feel like it would look weird if it was very high production content. The beauty of TikTok as a platform is it can be so fast and it can be done on your phone. It's authentic, it's personal, it's raw. I feel like as soon as you add a professional camera team into the mix, people can kind of see past that and they'll think, oh, maybe they're doing it for business or they're trying to get something else out of it.
That's true.
But yeah, I don't know. We haven't really had that many people get involved. I mean, it's something that I've always wanted to really explore. But I think for now, we're going hard on the platforms that we know get us business and, and work for us in that sense, as opposed to maybe trying to build a following on TikTok or all that sort of stuff. But again, it depends on what your goals are as a business, really.
Yeah.
Are you actually finding that most of your customers are, would say they're, a lot of them, I presume, are coming through LinkedIn to you?
Yes, I'd say so. So I'd say we probably get half of our business through LinkedIn, probably the other sort of 30% through recommendation, 20% through the site. So it's a bit of a mix.
And do you find that those who come through LinkedIn are mostly interested in content for themselves around LinkedIn? Is there more of a B2C side of things to it?
That's a good question. I think it's half and half. The beautiful thing with LinkedIn is that when people come through it, they want to work with us. So they're not looking at any other agency. They want to work with us no matter what. Obviously budget, but they're kind of sold on the fact that they want to work with V21. They've seen our content. They've seen the people behind the business. They know what we're like. They like us. They trust us. They feel that we're right for them. And they kind of just go, yeah. Just do what you guys need to do. I think through the site, through ads, through recommendation, there's a lot more of a process there to kind of get clients interested, to kind of walk them through what they should be doing, give them all the details. So it's a little bit of a harder sell. But LinkedIn really has been, I mean, this business was born on LinkedIn, basically. Without it, I wouldn't have been where I am now. And it's continuing to grow. LinkedIn's still a huge part of our, lead generation, those sorts of things. But I think that as we're progressing, we're starting to look into other platforms. There is a limit to how much you can get from LinkedIn, especially with so many businesses and brands and content creators now putting content out on that platform, it's going to get saturated. We're already seeing things like a decline in organic reach and kind of engagement and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it is changing as a platform. And I have always said, even when we were on the last podcast, I think I mentioned it's never safe to stay in one place. And it's the trap that a lot of people fall into. And I think that I made the mistake of really going hard on LinkedIn, not really looking elsewhere. And then suddenly organic reach died. I was like, oh my God, what do we do? All of this audience is here. Nobody's looking. It's kind of like, damn it.
Yeah.
So a big eye opener for us for sure. But it's a great platform.
Do you actually find your organic reach has gone way down on LinkedIn?
Yes, massively, okay. Hugely.
Yeah.
I think it's probably about 75% down, really. I mean, for our content organically, we were probably getting between sort of 10 to 15,000 views a video. We're probably getting 1,000 to 2,000 now.
Okay.
Engagement still kind of feels the same. So I don't know what LinkedIn have done. Don't take this from me. Take it with a pinch of salt. But maybe they've targeted it more towards the people that like your content and do actively engage, because the engagement's the same.
Well, that's the natural way, I think. That's what happened with Facebook as well. So yeah, I would imagine they're going to follow a similar route.
Mm. But I think what we're seeing is there's a huge increase in paid ads as well. Like every sort of fourth or fifth post is now a sponsored ad. So I think they probably take and reach away to make businesses think, cool, how can we get our business out there a bit more? Oh, LinkedIn ads are a little bit cheaper than they were. Let's have a look in that. Let's start investing in there.
Yeah.
So definitely. They're being quite clever with it. And I think also now, just because of lockdown, people aren't buying the recruiter package, which is basically what LinkedIn was all about. So I think it's a transition for their company as well. And I think you've just got to keep on top of the game with that, because it's a social media. It will change. You know, how it is now in 12 months' time will be completely different. So you've got to be quite flexible with how you post, what you post, where you post. And like I said earlier, it's kind of opened my eyes to, you know, other platforms and what else you can be doing in terms of content creation.
Mm. And what's your clients' favorite platforms to be posting on?
LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube.
So do you just make less than 1 minute videos for Instagram?
No, so we'll bulk record content. So that's the beautiful thing about, I guess, how we've changed the business around. I don't want to turn this into a big sales pitch, but it's, you know, it used to be all around making a single amazing piece of content, but just the way social's going, it's got to be bulk recorded, it's got to be scheduled, it's got to be consistent, and that's kind of what we're all about. So I think it's from a shoot, we tend to get it's like 2 months worth of content or something crazy. And it depends on how frequently you post. That's going on the basis of maybe once or twice a week. So it's quite a cool little service. But consistency is still a huge thing for us. So we're trying to always battle the, you know, bang for your buck in terms of budget, what you get back from that, but also making the content look good. Because, and again, we spoke about this last time, it's the battle of quality over quantity. You've got to make that content look good, but you've also got to post enough of it to actually get people to view it. And I don't think a lot of people have that balance yet. It's a testing game. We've had 3 years or so to test this out, and we kind of understood what works. It's now just having the time for us to do it for ourselves. But I mean, how much are you guys posting on every platform? What's your predominant platform? How much do you post on it?
Well, on Instagram, it would be once a day, nearly. Okay. And then LinkedIn, we post a lot on LinkedIn, like we try to keep up with it. Facebook, not as much. I feel like sometimes maybe I forget about Facebook. I'm like, oh, I better post on Facebook again. So maybe like once or twice. And then Twitter, I mean, I should be posting way more on Twitter, but I just genuinely don't have time. But we try to do at least once a day, but you should be posting, I'd say, 3 to 4 times a day on Twitter at least.
Yeah, okay. That's right. And, you know, how much time does that take you guys to do?
Well, see, we're all about repurposing content. So, like, you're in the business of kind of making loads of content in bulk, but we'll make this, like, say, this podcast now, one piece of content, and then chop it up for all different places and just keep reusing things. Do you do a lot of kind of repurposing?
Not massively. I have to say, again, not massively. I find that once people have kind of seen, and this is the thing, this is why we're going away from LinkedIn, because LinkedIn's always been our hub for content. So we used to post the long form piece, the cut down pieces, the images, the copy of that. Yeah. And I think for a viewer, it kind of got quite repetitive. They're seeing the same piece basically 6 times. For you guys, it makes sense if you guys are focusing on other platforms. And for anybody listening, if you are on other platforms, you need to be repurposing content. But as long as it's giving value to a viewer and it's actually fun and engaging, then go for it. It's just when people repurpose content for the sake of bulking up their content and then posting, it makes no sense to do. So for us, not really. Yeah.
So when let's say you do a LinkedIn video, are you posting the exact same video then to all the other platforms?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it slightly changes. So we might have, a format. Imagine like an animal, you have like the head, the body, the butt. You'd have like the head, which is 5% of that content, the body 90%, the butt 5%. So the head and the butt might change. So it might be, hey guys on LinkedIn or hey guys on Facebook, but the body of that always stays the same. Just because, I don't know, I feel like LinkedIn content's getting very close to Facebook content. It's not too salesy now. It was, but I feel like as more people are jumping on that kind of content path, it's getting more personal, it's getting more authentic. We're seeing real people, real stories, real lives, less salesy corporate pushy hard sell messages. So it kind of transitions itself nicely onto other platforms. A year ago, definitely not. It was very hard sales. It's the place that people do business, but it's becoming a more professional social media now, I think, as opposed to kind of an online CV.
Definitely on the feed. Maybe not so much in the inbox on LinkedIn.
That's true. That's true.
We won't talk about it. Oh, God. That's so true. Messages all the time.
Honestly. I get about 5 to 10 a day of just people saying, I posted one actually the other day. It was just a really lovely introduction. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Really interested in what you guys are doing. Love that you guys are making videos. I was like, cool, let's connect. Instant hard sell message around their agency and their fit. I was like, what? What's going on? It's mad, isn't it? It's just a kind of mindset, though. It's like, I feel like people are stressed right now over getting clients in, and if 1 in 1,000 says yes, then it makes sense for them to do it.
It's the number. It's the numbers game.
It is, right?
Yeah.
But it ostracizes 999 other people that will never now talk to you. It's kind of like, why? So yeah, different mindset.
And you mentioned there about, LinkedIn is, which is nice to see, getting that bit more personal. Have you taken advantage of LinkedIn stories much or done anything on that side of things?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. I think yes and no. I think the first 24 hours, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
Likewise.
I think
first day, I was like, and then,
I think I tested it out for about a week and it was looking really good. And, the engagement was good. People were viewing it. And naturally, LinkedIn would push that because it's a new feature on the site. So it was getting like crazy, crazy views. And then suddenly it just went boom and it died. And I was like, oh my God, what's happened? There is no point spending time walking people through what parts of the office I have for 50 views. It's just pointless. And I can just better spend that time actually making scripting, planning proper content that I can put out that can then be shared and distributed differently, repurposed. But I don't know. I feel like stories has its place. I think
it will get there.
I think it will.
There's like some UI issues. There's lots of little things. But I mean, from a business point of view, I think it will, if they push it and if they fix the issues, because anybody, I've said this on a previous podcast, anybody who's admin on a few pages can't get to their LinkedIn stories, really, can't get to their follower stories, because you've all your admin pages across the top first. What presumably they want to encourage you to post stories for your clients or for your admin pages. But all that means anybody who's admin on like 3 or 4 pages don't see anybody else's stories.
Yeah.
So there are lots of little issues like that, but for me, it's a no-brainer of people in the business world being able to share that more personal content. So I really do hope that they sort out the issues with it, give it the reach it deserves.
I agree.
Because I think it would work really well, and it'll be a fantastic down the line for the ads platform.
Yeah. Oh my god. I think it's even from a creation point of view, though, it's not there just yet. I mean, you'll film a video, the audio sounds terrible, the lighting's like completely broken, there's nothing really you can add into it in like stickers or GIFs or colors. So if anybody is wanting to do that LinkedIn stuff, go on to Snapchat or Instagram and just record a story first, save it. Post it onto LinkedIn. It just works so much better.
Brilliant. Jack, I suppose right now, again, kind of similar to where we were back in March and April, there's a lot of people back from home. Any tips for them on content creation and the types of things they could be doing for their business, whether they're e-com, B2B, maybe you want to, there's a few specific sectors or something you've seen really nice, clever work?
I still think that the really authentic content works quite well. I think especially, you know, if you're just starting out and you don't quite understand the whole video side of things or content marketing side of things, then it's good to just kind of be in it and sort of try it out, test it out, see what happens. Naturally, it's going to be different for every business. Like an e-com brand pushing a product, there's no real need to then push the CEO on LinkedIn. If you're maybe a digital marketing agency or you're maybe you know, a smaller business, it makes sense to do that, to kind of build relationships with local people, build those relationships up, get to, you know, show your true self, because that will generate business. It just takes a little bit longer. Yeah. So I think from my side, starting out, if you're at home, if you've got bare basic equipment, just give it a go. Start posting some content. I think you've got to do what you enjoy doing. So some people, that will be, I don't know, Q&As. It might be that you're just updating people with what you're doing, and that's perfectly fine. But I think the goal here is to just test. There's no content that's right or wrong. Again, it totally depends on what you do, who you are, where you're, you know, that sort of stuff. So just have a play around with it. I think for us, it's still very heavy on the entertain, educate, inform kind of strategy, if you can call it that. It's more of a guideline, I guess.
Edutainment.
Yeah, edutainment, that sort of stuff. But it's, you know, it's got to achieve one of those things for us. It's either got to entertain, educate people, or inform people as to what we're doing, where we are, how we're doing it, that sort of stuff. If it doesn't really do any of those three things, I don't really see a point of posting it, especially for the time that it takes to put together.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, it's just try it out and give it a go. It's going to be different for everybody.
And do you find it's hard to get people in front of the camera? Like, how do you encourage people to get it? Do you know, because some people are like, no, I want you to make the videos, but I'm not going to be in it.
Most of the time, I think it did start like that when we were starting the business, because there was, you know, not many people were making, I mean, video wasn't even on LinkedIn when we started back in three years ago. That's wow. That shows how fast the platform's evolved. But
yeah,
I think people were very scared to jump on camera, and there was a lot of a push from us to go, well, let's have a bit of a session and talk through how it works. But now kind of people get it. And, I think we've learned it's very hard to work with people who just refuse to be on camera, because it's, you know, it's your business. You're the face of the brand. It would be like Elon Musk coming to us going, I don't want to be on camera, you guys do it. So, well, I don't want to be the face of your brand. Like, yeah, how does that work? So, but again, it's all around a mind shift change. I think that because people are now on Zoom, you know, people are getting more comfortable being at home, talking on camera, looking like fighter pilots with their huge headsets on and those sorts of things. Like, like it's just the norm now. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen this new app called Clubhouse. Have you?
Clubhouse? Nope.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, right.
Okay, tell us all
so
about it.
This is huge. This is like blown up in the UK and America. Okay. So it's like, do you know what Discord is?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a big Discord that you can kind of join any group at any point, and you can kind of get involved or listen to a conversation. And it's super raw, super authentic. There was one about like the US election going on. There's one about marketing. Like, business owners can make kind of voice groups, and you can join and you can kind of engage and that sort of stuff. But it's kind of like, I mean, it might be good for you guys just to have a look at it. But
yeah.
If you guys are doing podcasts, actually put it live, get people listening live. I think that would be really cool. But again, it's just, people are at home. They're not all professional or in suits. They're still talking to people, getting out of their comfort zone a little bit. So, yeah, we haven't really found people kind of scared to get on camera. And if they are, it's just fact of there's just nowhere we can do so something.
It's just not the right time for
you.
Yeah,
I suppose you're not attracting people who don't want to go on camera anyway. That's fair enough.
I think with video, I think you have to be quite confident though. You have to have your video persona. You know, it's somebody who's a little bit more out of their shell, a little bit more enthusiastic or passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I am not camera jack at home when I'm having dinner, or it's like yeah. Night, right? So I think you definitely have to develop that character. It's like I'd say it's like your when you go networking, like your network persona basically, but just on video.
Yeah.
So yeah, people have definitely got more confident over the last year.
Brilliant.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, anybody listening wants to kind of find out a bit more about you? I'm guessing they should head to LinkedIn anyway. That's LinkedIn, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Regardless of me, guys, go on LinkedIn right now. But if you want to know more, www.v21.co.uk, LinkedIn, or hit us up on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. We're all over the place. So yeah, that would be great. Got any questions?
Perfect. Yeah, we'll link all of that in the description.
Anyway. Amazing. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Brilliant. Jack, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of The Digital Marketing Scoop. If you haven't subscribed yet, please search The Digital Marketing Scoop at any of your favorite podcast platforms and subscribe. And if you'd like to follow us on LinkedIn or Instagram, just search for Click Media and Marketing. That's CLIQ Media and Marketing. And we'd love for you to follow us.